Welcome to the Celebration Church Podcast. Right now, you're going to hear from our pastor, Dennis Vardy. This month's series is called Do the Math, and it speaks about what God is wanting to add to your life and what he wants to subtract, and if division can be a lifesaver for you. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Today, we're talking about addition, and addition is such a huge part of our life. I mean, it happens from the get-go. We have children. I'm thinking about my kids when they were little and how addition was such a big deal in their life. For instance, their height. You know, every year, you know, we would be having them go. We do that thing. We open the pantry door and you have them go there and you take a pencil and you draw a little line and you write the date and the, you know, and the age, everything, and the name of the child. And so they can see themselves, what, grow, because they keep adding height every year. And, you know, and we, of course, you do it in pencil because you're like, you know, really, I'm messing up this door and one day I'm going to have to erase this, right? Of course you're not going to. Are you kidding? You get past, you know, a decade or so and you're like, oh my gosh, we should frame this. You know, we can never lose this door. This represents, you know, raising our family. It's like if we leave this house, we take the door with us. I mean, that's what it becomes. But birthdays, you know, birthdays are all about numbers and kids are always excited about the next birthday. Isn't it amazing how little children, you'll say to them, how old are you? And they'll go, I'm 4 and a half. You will never ask a grandma, how old are you? I'm 67 and three quarters. Never will they admit that. But kids are so into addition when it comes to their age and all of that. School, you know, there's always another grade. Then become young adults. What do? We add college or university, some education, add a career. Eventually we add a spouse to our life. We add children to our life. We add home. Addition is huge in our life. Well, God loves to add to your life. Do you know that? God loves to add to your life. He does. In fact, the problem is this, is that so many people do not see God in that way. They don't see God as someone who adds in their life. Religion paints such a negative view of who God is that, you know, that he's judgmental and he wants to take away because you don't deserve it, and there's all these things you're not going to do, things you can't have, you know, and you need to suffer to be more holy, and he's the God of, you know, of taking away those things. And then even in crisis, even when people go through crisis, they'll say things like, why did God let that happen? As though somehow it was his intention that would happen. I've done a lot of funerals over the years, and it's not uncommon, sad to say, to be at a funeral and hear somebody use the phrase, the Lord took him. I just think, is that your picture of who God is? Is that how you see God? Do you see God as some alien life form going around taking people just randomly that certainly before their time? What a horrible, horrible picture of who God is. And in fact, you know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to clear all that up and get rid of all our stupid little religious ideas and show us that's not what he's about. In fact, he'd go to a funeral and raise the dead. You know, Jesus went to a funeral and the Bible says he wept. In other words, he felt the same way that everybody else felt. He felt compassion for the situation. But you know what? Jesus, I don't see him going around taking away from people's lives. I see him going around blessing them. I see him building them up, letting them know they can become everything they were intended to become, and encouraging people and all of these kinds of things, and healing and miracles and all those things that Jesus did. Yeah. We're all about building people up. You know, the Bible describes our world as a spiritual world where there is a God, but there is a devil. There is good, but there is evil. And in speaking about that, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, speaking of the devil, thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Well, to me, that's subtraction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now look at this. I came that they may have life and have it what? Abundantly. I mean, you know, God's a God of addition.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff that goes on in people's lives, I don't know why we don't get it and say, look what the devil did.
Yeah.
Why don't we put the blame where it belongs? Look what the enemy's trying to do in this family or in this individual's lives. That we have an enemy. And here's the deal. It's not that he needs to keep you out of heaven. He's okay with you believing in Jesus and going to heaven. He just needs to destroy enough in your life to keep you from fulfilling your purpose on earth.
Yeah.
He just wants to trip you up, get you hurt, get you confused, get you messed up enough that you keep out of the purposes of God, because he knows that you're going to populate heaven and you're going to empty hell if you fulfill what God wants you to do with your life. You're going to be a difference maker for Jesus. That's all he has to do, is keep you down and out. He doesn't care if you go to heaven. Just keep you from fulfilling your purpose to make a difference for Christ. But God is looking to add to your life. 3 John 2:2 says this. This is a prayer. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. What a great prayer. I pray that in all respects, that in all, is that my job? Yep. Is that my family? Yep. Is that my health? Yep. In all respects, you may what? Prosper. In other words, you're going to do even better than you have been doing. That there's going to be this growth, this increase, that's going to be this addition that's going to happen into your world. That's the God that we serve. He loves to add to your life. Now, y'all don't look like you believe me. So I'll tell you one more story. It's the story of David. David's the king of Israel. He's got it all. I mean, he's got the biggest house. He's got everything going for him. I mean, you talk about being the boss. He was the boss. I mean, he was in that place. And David makes a horrible mistake in his life where he ends up committing adultery with one of his soldier's wives. And then he has that soldier killed to cover what he had done. Well, he hadn't straightened that out between him and God, and God sends a prophet into his life by the name of Nathan. When Nathan shows up, he confronts David in kind of a backhanded way by telling him a story about a rich guy who's got all these sheep, you know, and then this poor guy that's his neighbor who only has one little lamb that he's raised up personally and taken care of personally. And then when he decides that he needs to slaughter a sheep, he goes and steals that one lamb from his neighbor rather than going from his own harvest of all the flock that he has. David's hearing this story being told as though this actually happened, and he responds to it, and he gets enraged, and he's like, we need to find that guy. We need to deal with that guy. 2 Samuel 12:7, we pick up the story, and here's what it says. Nathan then says to David, you're the man. In other words, David, this is just a story to expose you. You're the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. In other words, I put you in as king, and I took care of your enemies. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives into your care. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And look at this. If that had been too little, I would have added to you, I would have added to you many more things like these. Do you think God wants to add to your life? Come on. Do you think God wants to add to your life? Now, notice how he says it. He says, if that had been too little. In other words, David, if it had been actually your opinion that more should be happening in your world like these things, I would have responded to that and increased it in your life. David, if you'd have thought your family should be doing better, I'd have made sure it's doing better. If you'd have thought your business should be larger, I'd have helped you make it larger. If you'd have thought some of the blessings in your life could increase, if you'd have thought there was more territory to have, I would have seen that would have happened. In other words, God just actually kind of put it in his hands to make the decision, and then God said, I would have responded and been happy to add more into your world. But David added what didn't belong to him. And when he did that, he found out that not all additions actually add to your life. Not everything that we can add and everything that we can do will actually add to your life. David found out that because of the fact that after he had committed, you know, this adultery and all these things that he had done, his life was troubled from there forward. just constantly live with trouble. The thing that he thought in that moment was, oh, this would be so great. I mean, look at this gal. She's perfect. And, you know, this is the one for me. And that thing that he thought that was so great in that moment ended up being the trouble of his life for the rest of his life. And you know what? This happens so many times, especially with teenagers, where they can just quickly make a decision about something and go, oh, maybe this is what I should do. And in a moment of emotion, in a moment of, hey, all my friends are doing this, you know, and they're saying this, and make a decision that brings trouble for many years of their life. People do this, though. You can't actually add things to your life that subtract from your life. Yep. And it happens all the time. Here's a good one, and that is this. People add stuff they can't afford. They add stuff they can't afford. And then when they add the stuff they can't afford, they add debt. And then when they add debt, it adds stress, it adds worry, it adds burden to their life. I just recently read a Financial Post article that said that nearly half of the Canadians would face a financial crunch if a paycheck was delayed by 1 week. By 1 week. I mean, you talk about living on the edge. It's like you're living on the edge of the edge. You're just out there. So how does that happen? Well, it happens when we add things that we can't afford. And then we find out that our addition comes with a subtraction to the quality of our life and to the enjoyment of life. In fact, they said 35% of them felt overwhelmed by the levels of debt that were on their life. Well, Proverbs 14:12 says this. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So what's it speaking about? It's speaking about the fact that there's all these choices we can make in life, but with every choice, there's a consequence. With every choice, there's a consequence. It's speaking about the truth of sowing and reaping, that with our choices, we're like putting out a seed for something in the future. And if we don't like what we're reaping right now, we probably need to look at what we've been sowing in our past. Yeah. Because this is how we get added to our life. Well, how does God add to your life? How does God actually add to your life? Well, let's have a look at this. First of all, when Jesus is added to our lives, he adds purpose and vision. He adds purpose and vision. When Jesus is added to our life, suddenly there's this amazing thing that happens inside of our heart where it's like, man, my life counts. My life matters. You're right, because you just connected with the cross. You just connected with the fact that your life matters so much to God that he would go and die on a cross for you, that he would pay for your sins. And now you receive Jesus into your life. And I can still remember that the moment I received Jesus into my life, there was this sense that the search was over, that I was no longer looking for that thing I needed in life to make me fulfilled, to make me happy, to make me feel like this is what life is all about. And the reason is this: the meaning of life is to have a relationship with God. Yeah. And as soon as you come into that relationship with God, it's like, okay, we've solved that one. We're now walking in the meaning of life. Everything else that happens is peripheral. I've got a relationship with the Lord that lasts into eternity. There is a forever relationship. I've settled that. We're just going forward with everything else he has for me. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this: who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. From all eternity. The Bible says you have been saved and you've been called. Those two things come together. First of all, salvation is one of the greatest additions you'll ever have in your life. There's actually two decisions that you will make in life that will affect your destiny, that will affect the whole outcome in your life. And that is this: what are you going to do with Jesus? They're both relationship decisions, by the way. What are you going to do with Jesus? And the second one is, who are you going to marry? Yeah. That's it. Those are the two biggest decisions that will ever happen in your life that will affect everything in terms of the quality of life and the experience of life. They are huge. And when we come into that relationship with God, we engage in the meaning of life, to know Him. But when Jesus comes into our life, it's more. It is being forgiven, but it is so much more that happens in our life. We get added to God's family. He adds security and identity in our life. It's like, man, I belong to God. I'm secure about that. That's my identity. That's who I am. He adds His unconditional love and acceptance. God is not looking for performance. We just read that in that scripture. He's not looking for you to be good enough. He unconditionally loves you and accepts you and embraces you in relationship with Him. He adds a clean conscience. You're forgiven of your past, guilt-free, shame-free. Put that behind me, not worried about those things, focused on going forward. He adds, this is beautiful, His presence in your life. That you actually carry the presence of the Holy Spirit when Jesus comes into your life. The Bible says that when we invite Christ into our life, we become one spirit with Him. And now the presence of God is in our heart. Now we have fellowship with this person called the Holy Spirit. He adds His presence. Your name gets added to the Lamb's Book of Life. That there's an eternal life. That you got a home in heaven. There's meaning. You matter to God, and what you do matters to God because you matter to God. It's about living for something that's just greater than yourself. It's really what it's about. It's about living for something that's even greater than the people around you that you might be serving. It's about living for the one who created you, who knew you when you were in your mother's womb, who loved you enough to die for you. That's the one that we're living for. And all of that comes into play. All of that gets added to your life when Jesus becomes the Savior and Lord of your life. Now out of that relationship, now we've engaged in relationship, we're secure in our relationship. Out of that relationship comes this other thing called calling, where it's like God puts a sense of, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I'm to make a difference. This is how I'm to serve people. This is how I'm to connect with His church and make a difference with helping to preach the gospel and minister the gospel to people. This thing called calling, it's knowing that God has a purpose for our lives to make a difference for eternity. That your life is not an accident and you're not a life that's insignificant. Calling is about how God uses you. It's about how we serve Him by serving others. It's about what He puts in our heart that will make a difference in the world around us. God puts that sense of calling. This is what I need to do. This is how I can contribute, how I can be a part. And what you do matters because you matter to God and because people matter to God.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what we're doing matters, especially because we live for the cause of Christ. We live for the cause of the gospel of Jesus that brings people back into what God originally designed us for, relationship with Him. I was telling our teams earlier this morning as we were preparing for service, I said, I've figured out something, and that is everybody lives for a cause. We hear a lot of people talking about this cause or that cause. I know what my cause is. My cause is ignorance, because we live in a nation that is so full of ignorance when it comes to the gospel of Jesus and when it comes to knowing scripture. I'm fighting the cause of ignorance so people can know God instead of being, just having no clue. The other side of salvation is the fact that Jesus impacts our life by adding vision. Vision is about seeing your future. Vision is about seeing, where's my life going? What's it supposed to look like? And God wants to actually impact our future by filling our heart full of vision. You say, how does He do that? When we begin to read the Bible, we find promises inside of God's word that speak to family, that speak to marriage, that speak to finance, that speak to health, that speak to, so many different dynamics of life. And you can take those things together, and now what do? Out of building those scriptures together in your heart comes vision. Oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. Man, I'm to fill my life with vision. This is what, a blessed marriage looks like. This is what a happy family looks like. This is what raising children is about. This is what my career should look like according to God's word, where He talks about it being blessed. blessed and growing and doing well. This is what it is to handle the challenges of life. And the God's word gives us promises about that too. And growing in our walk with God, making a difference in the lives of others. All of that comes together through the scriptures. God doesn't want us to be people who are just going through life and it's like, well, life's pretty good, but this area here, this really sucks. This is not going so well. I guess I'll just have to kind of, you know, tolerate it, put up with it, accommodate it. It's just the way it is. I can't do much about it. No, we're to get the word of God and the promises of God in our life, and we're to confront those things and believe God. Listen, just because that's where you are today doesn't mean that's where you're going. And you use the promises of God to lead into the fulfillment, a vision for those things. Don't let your circumstance build your vision when your vision should be built on God's word. What is it that has been shaping the vision of your life? Think about that question. Sometimes people's vision for their life, quite frankly, is just shaped by the struggles they're going through. And then they look at those struggles and they go, well, I guess this is what life is like. I guess this is what it's about. But I don't know if you realize this, but the promises of God are not Disneyland and they're not the yellow brick road. Here's what I mean by that. You can read about the blessing and how God wants to bless you and multiply you and grow you and do all sorts of wonderful things and happy marriage, all that sort of stuff. You can read all that stuff and then you can think, oh, that's what the Christian life should be like, right? It should always be like this and just wonderful, wonderful. And then you get in a crisis. Then you get in an issue. You get in a problem. And if that's your thinking, it can lead to a tremendous disappointment in your life. So here's what you need to understand. The promises of God are for the fact that there are challenges in life, and we need to hold fast those promises and go, you know what, this is what God really says my life should look like. I may be facing this right now, but I'm going to fight it because this is the vision. This is where I'm going. This is what life is meant to look like. And so we apply ourselves in that way. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law. I want to just dwell on this a little bit. Where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. So what do you mean by that? Well, if you have vision, there's things you're going to do and things you're not going to do. When you have vision, there's restraint. It's a good restraint. It's like, this is where I'm going. So no, I don't have time for that because this is what I'm doing. I've got vision. Now, what the scripture is saying is this. When you have no vision, who cares how you spend your time? Who cares how you spend your money? Who cares who you hang out with? Who cares what you do with your morality? Doesn't really matter because you don't have any vision anyway. So if you don't have, hey, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's what it's like to be like with no vision. Now let me kind of take this phrase and bring it into today's language. We might not use the word unrestrained. I'd use a different word. The word, because it's so popular in here amongst youth, whatever. Whatever. Where there's no vision, then, well, whatever. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. Whatever. We'll just do whatever. But where there is vision, you don't live like that. Listen, you watch somebody making a lot of bad choices with their life, I can promise you one thing. They don't have vision. They don't have vision. That's why we spend so much time in our youth ministry talking about vision, talking about future, talking about the kind of life that God wants them to have so we can have their attention on where they're going so they don't make some impulsive, stupid decision to mess up their life today. Why? Because you can live with restraint when you got vision. And so we want to make sure there's vision. People see where they're going with life, where they're going with life. You know, before I received Jesus, my vision in life really suffered, to be honest with you. I mean, I had some areas where it was like I had a good vision, had a good kind of impression about it, but I had some areas that, I would say this, when it came to marriage and family, my vision for my life was built around the failures that I watched going on around me. And I can even remember as a young adult having conversations with my mom and saying, I'm not gonna get married. Why should I? Most of them end up in divorce. So I got this figured out. Don't bother getting married. You're going to end up getting divorced anyway. And so you might as well just live together. And when that doesn't work out, go find somebody else. And, you know, that way, you know, you can just kind of keep things moving and transitioning a lot easier. And, you know, when you don't have God in your life, you come up with some really dumb ideas. But But in all seriousness, I just didn't have any vision for what the Bible says about marriage. I just kind of lost that. Kind of threw that out with what I saw going on in the world around me. And then after I became a Christian, even early in the early years of reading my Bible, because I just, you know, had a hunger to know God and to know his word, and so I'm reading through the Psalms, and I'm reading Psalms 128, verse 3, and it says this: your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children like olive plants around your table. Man, I read that scripture and I went, huh, God says you should get married. God says you can have a wife. Not only that, that your children don't need to be weeds. Huh? They can be a fruitful vine. It can be a good thing. And in reading that scripture so stood out to me that it confronted the fear that I had in my heart from stuff I'd seen going on around me in life. And God changed my heart completely about this whole area and what to expect. And this December, we're celebrating 35 years of marriage. So I think it's working pretty good so far. Let me just say this. If you've gone through a divorce, don't hear that in a condemning way. Hear that in a way that says, this is where I'm going. This is the future I'm now building. This is what I can have. This is what it can look like from today forward. And embrace this as your future. Don't let it be something where it's like, well, it's all about negative. No, the past is past. This is where you're going. My vision was shaped by the absence of Jesus in my life. 100%. I mean, I didn't know Jesus. And so I just, you know, I thought, well, it's just about me. I should just get a job and figure out my career. And so, you know, that's what I did. I worked on, you know, getting my university degree. And I just wanted to sit and work on a computer in a cubicle and not have anybody bug me all day long. Life. Hallelujah. That was my vision. And I had in no way, shape, or form thought I would be doing what I'm doing today. If you'd have asked me back then, do you think you would be doing that? I'd be like, you got to be crazy. What are you smoking? I mean, it's just no way, shape, or form. But here's the deal. Our vision that we can have in our heart can be so small compared to what God might actually do through your life. Let me put it this way. Who knows what God can do through a life of somebody who's fully dedicated to him? And you know something? It's not like, well, everybody in the room needs to become a pastor. No, you don't. You need to be what God's called you to be. You need to do what God's called you to do. But you may not have this platform, but you know what? There are business people in this church, and they've got their own platform, and they're doing amazing things for Jesus. Why? Because God's filling their heart with vision. Filling their heart with vision. I better keep moving. The clock is my enemy. You are my friends. Psalms 119:32 says, I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. You know, the scriptures here saying, listen, as I get into God's word and your commandments, my heart's enlarged. My vision isn't all small, all about me. You know, oh, I'm going to have my life, my money, my job, me. No, he says, I'm going to enlarge your heart. I'm going to get you thinking bigger than just yourself. And so, you know, sometimes our vision, we can be hurting, and it's what I would call survival. I'm just trying to make it through the week. I'm just trying to make it to the next paycheck. But then we get this other idea that comes in our head about being successful, and we start working on that, and we're like, yay, great, I'm successful now. I built my business, I got my family going, this is awesome, I'm successful. Can I tell you something? You're one step short of where God wants you. You're one step short of where God wants you. It's fantastic that you're successful, but God actually has another level he wants to take you to called significance. Where it's a place where it's, hey, it's not just about me and mine, but now this is how God uses me to serve and minister and give and do all those other things that help other people experience Jesus and have their life changed. Why? Because I've allowed God to enlarge my heart. Can I tell you something? When I first gave my life to Jesus, I was afraid. I was afraid. I'm going to give you three reasons I was afraid to really fully give my life to Christ. Number one, and they all hinge around one thing, and that is this. If I really follow God, this is how negative we get our mindset around who God is. If I really follow God, I'll bet you he's going to make me do things I don't want to do. Like be a pastor. Seriously. Now, here's the problem with that. The problem was my understanding of what I thought that would look like. So I thought, if I really fully give my life to Christ, he's probably going to want me to be a pastor. And he's probably going to want me to move to Saskatchewan. If you're from Saskatchewan, that's your problem. Just kidding, are you? He's probably going to make me a pastor in Saskatchewan in some little white church with six babushka ladies on the front row. And it's like, welcome to the abundant life, you know? I'm serious. That was my mental image of what it meant to fully follow Jesus with all of my heart. Obviously, that has changed, okay? But that's where I was at. Well, here's what it says. If you run the way of your commandments, you will enlarge my heart. I'll give you a completely different picture about what I can do in and through your life. Okay, one more thought I want to talk about addition. Notice this. Jesus will add to who you are, not just what you do or have. Jesus will add to who you are, not just what you do or have. Many times in life, we get excited about where we're going. We get excited about, you know, the vision of what our future and all those things. And we can tend to overlook the level of preparation that is needed to get to that place of fulfillment. It was very easy years ago to think about relocating our church and being excited about another location and another building. But the truth of the matter is getting to here was at least 4 years of financial fundraising. It was at least 6 months of dealing with financial institutions to secure a mortgage. It was at least a year of meeting with architects and going through all the details. And now all of that was before we went into an entire year of construction. How many know something? 1 year of construction, but about 5 years of stuff before that. So the truth of the matter is preparation was huge in order to get to fulfillment of building what we built. Think about the Olympics. You know, we love it when the Olympics come on and we watch the sports of whatever is taking place there. We're watching that thing. We're going, oh man, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. That was great. Yeah, but it took them over 4 years to do that in that amount of time. The level of preparation was huge to be able to get to that place in his life. Well, 2 Peter talks a little bit about this. 2 Peter 1:5, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. To add to your faith. Goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to not only add these, I want them to be growing in your life. Character, knowledge, moral fortitude, determination, compassion for people, all of these things. See, just because you've got a vision doesn't mean you're actually ready to fulfill it. It's true. Let me give you a primary example. Young people who fall in love. Oh, I should get married. Well, here's my question. Are you marriageable? That's a tough word to say 3 times in a row, isn't it? Are you marriageable? In other words, are you actually prepared for the responsibility of making a commitment like that that's going to go for a lifetime? There are things that God has to add in you before, in order to give you the ability to sustain the things that he's going to add to you. And so, you know, we can pray for the end goal, the end dream, and all those things, but we've got to allow God to do that work. Here's the deal. The journey doesn't just get you to your destination. The journey is where God prepares you for the destination. It's where he works on you. And some things in life are added by just knowledge. That's why it's on the list. Add knowledge. You know, if you're someone who's saying, man, I've got a vision to be in a business making $100,000 a year. Maybe that's your vision. Yeah, but if you've only got $40,000 income knowledge level, you're not going to fulfill that vision. You've got to learn some things, get some wisdom, get some skills, all the rest of it, to develop your life to a place where you can fulfill that vision. So there's places in life where it's about knowledge. Now, there's places in life where knowledge alone won't do it. In other words, we can read about, I should have patience, I should have self-control. Listen, you go buy a book that, you know, that's titled, How to Deal with the Idiots in Your Life, or something like that. It isn't going to make you a more patient, self-controlled person. So what does make you more like that? Practice. Practice. Being intentional. Just deciding, no, I'm going to be patient. No, I'm going to be self-controlled. No, I'm going to do all these things, because if I don't, I know I could sabotage something great that God really wants to do in my life. Here's another thing. Just because you have vision doesn't mean that there won't be a fight in order to fulfill it. Just because you have vision doesn't mean, man, God's been speaking to me about this. Oh, great. It's just going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. Yes, it is. And along the way, it's going to be hard. Yeah. Fight. You're going to have to deal with some things. You're going to have to press through. You're going to have to persevere. So if you don't have perseverance, you might quit before you get to your destination. If you don't have self-control, you might blow up and walk out of something that you should have hung in there with and you should have stuck with until you got a breakthrough and turned that thing around. Why? Because there's a fight. We can see that right from the beginning of the Bible. Read about Joshua. Hey, Joshua, I'm going to take you into the promised land. By the way, it starts with a war over there, and then you're going to have a fight over here, and then you're going to see this. What is he doing? All along the way, he's dealing with opposition and obstacles until he can get to the place where he's supposed to get. Why? Because that's the way it is. How about in the times of Jesus? The woman who got healed because she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. She had to press through a crowd to get close enough to do it in a culture, by the way, that wasn't super courteous to women. How about the guys that lowered their friend who was paralyzed down to Jesus? Climbed up on a roof. They're in this building. It's absolutely packed. They can't even get into this building. It's just so packed. I've been in a building like that. I preached down in Cuba where they had church in a house that was so full, we had to walk through the backyard past the family pig in order to get in to be able to preach to these people. I'm serious. The family pig. It's a little different than the family dog. It's more stinky, trust me. But you know what those guys did? They climbed up on the roof, the Bible says. They tore off tiles. They lowered him down to get to Jesus. You know, if they'd have been passive about their faith and just said, well, you know, if it's God's will, Jesus will just come out and he'll see you and it'll all happen. They didn't play that game. You know what they did? They said, you know what? Jesus can heal. We know he can heal. We're fighting for your healing. We'll get up there and rip the roof off if we have to, but we're going to make sure that this happens for your life. Let's stand as we take time to pray. And we're talking about the fact that God wants to add to your life. But as we take this moment of prayer, my question to you is this. Have you added Jesus to your life? Have you added Jesus? Have you engaged him to say, I believe that you're the Savior of the world. You died for my sins. And I'm going to ask for your forgiveness. I want to receive it. Have you allowed him to be the Lord of your life? No, we don't use that word much in our culture. So the best one I would replace it with is leader, because we're called to be followers. And so we embrace him and say, okay, we're going to do life your way. You know, I might normally get angry and stay angry, but you said forgive. I might want to be selfish and just think about me, but you said be generous. I'm going to do life your way. Have you added Jesus? Because the beginning of seeing God really move in your life is engaging a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to invite Saul to bow for this word of prayer and just ask, if you're here today and you're like, man, Pastor, I need to do this. I need to add Jesus into my life. I need to receive him into my life. That's where I'm at. That's what I need to do. Please include me in that prayer. Can you just notify me by raising your hand just to say, I'm adding Jesus to my world today. I'm adding Jesus to my world today. I'm receiving him as my Savior and Lord. That is awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me, that you died for me. I ask you to forgive me. And I invite you into my life, confessing you as my Lord and Savior. I'll follow you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our series, Do the Math. If you're wanting to know more about Celebration Church or you would like to partner with us financially, visit us online at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on our Instagram and Facebook at Celebration EDM. Come back next week to hear another great message.